Can we just give it up to the worship team right now? So good. I felt like we already had some church, so I can... No, be done. No, just kidding. I just wanted to say this, and we're going to pray. You know that the same presence of the Lord that you're feeling right now in worship, the same victory, the same peace, the same joy, you know you can have that in your own home. You know that? We're just going to pray that right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for your presence. Lord, that is here to heal. Lord, to bring deliverance. Lord, in victory, Lord. Lord, like the battle is already won, Father, the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, not just only in church. We want the Spirit of the Lord, of the living God, to be with us in our homes, in our families. Lord, everywhere we go, Lord Jesus, in our marriages, with our kids, Lord, and Lord, in the challenges we face, we need your presence. And all God's people would say, amen, amen. Well, after the first service, they said, like, John, you must have been hungry because all your illustrations were about food. And I think I was, so ate a little snack in between. But we are having tacos because it's Cinco de Mayo, amen. So don't preach hangry. I think that's what I was doing. But last week, we're going to continue on with our message of welcome home. If God had a house, what would it look like? And we're going to continue in that message, that theme today. But last week, you guys remember, Pastor Caleb talked about a dream home, right? And I didn't see my dream home come up. So can you just put that up there? That's a van. That's what that is. It's a surf van. And Katja, everybody in the first service said it was okay. So no, I'm just kidding. It's all right. Me and Emma can do a surf van. Yeah. It's got a crib. It's awesome. We don't need a shower because I've got like I turned a sprayer into a shower. I have one when I go surfing, right? I just put hot water in it. I pump it up and, you know, so it's all you need, right? No. But we talked about dream home. We talked about if God had a house, what would it look like? And you can go to this slide. God has a dream home. And it's already been paid in full. There's no outstanding debt, no mortgage. God truly is building his house. Amen, church? That we get to be a part of it. And just think about it for a second if you didn't have a mortgage, right? Some of you guys are like, amen. Thank you, Lord, right? But God's house. So again, we're going to do a little recap from week one. A couple things we talked about. God's house is more than a physical building, right? Think about how big the universe is. Has anybody ever seen that Louis Giglio thing where he talks about Beetlejuice and the size of the earth and the size of the sun and then the size of bigger stars and bigger stars? And just it blows my mind how big God is, right? And so we can't contain him in a building, but he still chooses to show up in places where we make room, amen? So it's not just a physical building. It's more than that. God's house is built with living stones, people. And the thing about stones versus bricks, you know, it doesn't say that we're a house with bricks. There's nothing wrong with bricks. I like bricks. And, you know, one of the things my dad was, he did construction, basically everything outside of the house he could do. But one of the things that was the most creative was his actually rock work. And I remember helping my dad build some rock walls. Sometimes I wasn't too excited about it, right? But the thing about rock work, it's not like bricks are the same size. They're uniform. Stones are individual, right? And somehow you have to make them fit together, right? And God is fitting us together. So your shape is important. You're in a unique expression of the love and power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, I need you. Say, we fit together. We fit together. Ephesians 4:6 says this. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love, right? And that's what God is doing. He is building the house. Amen? We also talked about how the house of God is a place of family, right? I just turn to your neighbor and say, you are accepted in the beloved. One of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians 1:6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God has not called us just to believe, but to belong. Say, you belong. You belong. You belong here. So I think sometimes, I think most of us at some point in our lives, we've struggled with feeling like we belong, right? We maybe felt like we're like not the cool kids, right? We're second class citizens, or however you want to describe it. But no, 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 you were truly accepted in the house of the Lord. That's this whole message about welcome home. You belong. You are family. Also, the house of God is a place of encounter. We looked at last week about Jacob, right? And when he was running from his brother Esau, right? They definitely had some, I know I got in some fights with my brothers, but I don't know. I know there's times where they said they were going to kill me, but I don't know if it ever went that far. But it's also, I also got bigger. You know, I'm actually the biggest out of the four. So power struggle changes, you know, sometimes in the dynamics, right? My brother Matt was kind of the bully of the family, right? And then, you know, the power struggle changed, you know, when I hit puberty, outweighed him, you know. So it's another story. But yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus, for getting us back on track. But the thing about Jacob, we talked about how he had this place of encounter at Bethel, the house of God, where he dreamed. He put his head on the rock, and that's like, whoa, that feels uncomfortable, but that was the rock of Jesus Christ. It represents the rock of Jesus Christ. And he dreamed, and he saw angels ascending and descending, and he said, this is holy ground. He had an encounter in the house of the Lord. So we're going to pick up where we left off there in the sense of that we're going to go, God doesn't only want us to have an encounter in the house of God, right? But we want to go all the way to transformation, amen? Right? So we're going to look at that today. And so the title of my message today is Mi Casa Es Su Casa. Right? Cinco de Mayo, tacos, right? We're just having fun, right? But have you ever been to somebody's house where it's not just a saying or it's just not a doormat, but you feel welcome in their house, right? You feel accepted. You feel loved. You feel like part of the family. And that might even be in like doing the chores and doing the thing that everybody else does, right? You know, there's nothing like being part of the family where they put you to work and they also tease you like they tease every, right? That's real, right? And so you know what that's like when you come into that kind of an environment, right? Where you can truly just be yourself. You feel accepted. But I think all of us, don't raise your hand, but I know I have, where you felt the opposite. You go to somebody's house, you don't feel loved. You don't feel accepted. You don't feel like you can sit on the furniture. Ever had like plastic over the sofas and you're like, ooh. I think that was an 80s thing. I don't know. But maybe there's some of you out there. No judgment. No judgment. But you just feel like, you know, it's like walking on eggshells. And maybe the environment is what it is. Maybe it's a beautiful house, but the environment is not a place of love and acceptance. And sometimes, you know, you go into somebody's house, or it's been my house. I'll just use myself as an example. My mom's here today. Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, starting early. Just so you guys know, every guy here, three things about Mother's Day. Start early. Don't just do one thing often, okay? Go often and go big, all right? Those three things, all right? All the guys will thank me later. Yeah, I know, right? Bam, bam, bam. I'll just ask you ladies this. They asked ladies, would you rather have somebody give you a dozen roses once or one rose 12 times? How many roses, how many would like a dozen once? Just a few. How many would you like one rose 12 times? See, there you go. There you go. Sermonette. Amen. Start early, go big, go often. Okay, back on track. But my mom came over, and this is one of those times where I just got in an argument with Katja, right? And we don't argue a lot, but like, I know when she came, yeah, what? Katja's like, what? What? And there's still tension in the air. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm glad my mom was there, because then we needed to interact and work that out, right? So it's actually a good thing. But you know what I'm talking about. You notice the difference when you feel welcome in somebody's home, right? Where you feel accepted, where you feel at home. So what would you do if I said, hey, right after or later this tonight after tacos, somebody very important is coming to your house? They're not just coming, they're coming for dinner, and they're also going to stay the night. And maybe they're going to keep staying. We don't know how long, right? I was telling my buddy Mel this yesterday, sharing about like, hey, what some of the things I was thinking about speaking on. And he's like, well, the first thing, my wife would just freak out and panic. Be a lot of running around, high-pitched squealing going on, right? I'm like, hey, that's okay. And then, but what would be the first thing? I know the first thing I would need to do, I would need to clean up. I don't know about your house. Even before we had a toddler, I would need to clean up, right? And the second thing I'd need to do is I'd need to make room, right? Because if they're going to spend the night, where are they going to sleep? Right? I need to, you know, get the sheets out, wash the sheets, set up the bed if we have it, blow up mattress. I don't know what you got. And then the last thing is, like, if we're going to have dinner, I need to go shopping. I need to, like, fill the cupboards and maybe, hey, what do they like? Maybe they got some dietary restrictions. Maybe I need to, you know, fire up the pizza oven. I don't know, put on the smoke. I don't know. I need to do something, right? I am hungry. Sorry. Tacos. What if I told you Jesus is coming over? He's coming to your house, amen? Revelation 3:20 says this. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. King James says, sup. Sup, right? That's what we used to say when we were in passing as teenagers. Sup, right? It's not what it's meaning here. Jesus wants to have a place of intimacy at the table, a place of communion, a place of fellowship, amen? And I don't know about you, I need Jesus in my house. I need him in my marriage. I need him when I'm disciplining my kids. You know, I just need his presence. More and more, I know that I need him. And so I want to talk about those things I talked about in the natural, in the spirit. So the first thing I want to talk about is doing some spiritual house cleaning, right? Some of us got junk in the trunk. We got to get through. And I've been doing some natural house cleaning, right? Actually, my mom's going to be staying a little bit when we have baby number two, right, coming. So I've been literally doing this. I've been trying to clean up and get rid of stuff, prepare a place. We're setting up a bed this week, Mom. And we're just like, hey, Mom, just move in. Just stay as long as you want, right? We'll stock the fridge. And I don't know if anybody who's watched this Marie Kondo show, Declutter Your House, right? Or something like that, with this whole idea where she helps people get rid of stuff. And one of the things she does is she said, you grab something and then you say, does this spark joy, right? And I had a garage sale and I was doing something similar. But I'm like, is this worth money? Right? Can I sell this for cash? Right? Or Goodwill? I don't know. But there's certain things in our house that we need to get rid of. Just like a spring cleaning in the natural, there's certain things that aren't sparking joy, that aren't releasing joy and releasing life in our house. And God's saying, hey, clean them out. God's not, and I just want to say this, God is not afraid of this stuff. But we just need to be honest and say, I want to clean up. I need to do some spiritual house cleaning. Another question that we can ask that I like to ask, because sometimes I've said this. I haven't only said, you know, you ever said, it's not that bad, right? It's not that bad, right? Sometimes, you know, the state of your house, again, people are coming over, it's not that bad, right? I've seen worse, right? But the question I want to ask is it good? Is it good, right? You say, oh, that TV show, it's not that bad. But is it good, right? And right now, there's more access than ever because of our phones and YouTube and Netflix and Amazon Prime and cable TV and all this other stuff. There's a ton of filth that's right available, right in our homes, right? And we need to ask ourselves, is this good? Not, it's not that bad, amen? Can I get an amen? So there's certain things that God is asking us to do some spiritual house cleaning. So the next slide is the number two, make room to prepare a place. Again, I'm doing this in the natural, trying to set up a room for Mom and spare room. And now there's stuff there. So I got to make room for her, right? I'm trying to clear out space in the bathroom and in the closet so she can have her makeup and, you know, room in the closet, right? you know, towels. Has anybody ever gotten an argument over the guest towels in their house, right? Those are the guest towels. Don't use that towel, right? Just me. It's okay. But one of the things that's different about the first step of spring cleaning versus making room is some of us, if you ask, like, hey, can we get lunch? And they say, hey, I got to pull out my calendar. And it's like six month waiting list, right? To get in for, no, it's real, right? It was great. Tammy Wrestler raised her hand. She's one of our board members. She's awesome, right? She's like, yeah, that's me, 6 months, right? And she's one of those people that's scheduled. But we need to make room for Jesus on our schedule. Can I say that? In our home, because I think some of you guys are already thinking about, like, got to get the kids, we got to do homework, we got to get them fed, you know, bath time, bedtime songs, you know, all the things you got to do. But we need to make room for Jesus to show up in our house. We need to prepare a place. And that might be something's got to go. Probably that's something that has to go. And it might not even be the worst thing ever. But we need to make room. We need to say, where is the time for Jesus in my house? Amen? All right. That's good. Amen. I'm preaching to myself. And amen. It's okay. Somebody said, like, they got to amen yourself sometimes. But I got some good amen for it. So go to the next slide. They say that children spell love T-I-M-E, right? My daughter Emma's so cute. She's like, Daddy, you know, right here. I'm literally, like, this far away from her. No, right here, right? Jesus might be saying, Milt, right here. Stacy. Right here. Not over there. Not on your phone. That's what Emma does. Right here. Right? Okay? And that's what he's saying. And so I think Jesus feels love the same way that our kids do. He wants our time. He wants our attention. Okay? And Jesus wants to dine with us. Dinner with Jesus. Again, I'm just talking about food, sorry. It's in the message here. But have you ever been, like, maybe just, like, sitting on the couch or doing something, and you run over to the fridge, and you just open the fridge door, and you're just looking? And you're like, you go back, and you go sit down. And it's, like, not even, like, 5 minutes later, you run over to the fridge again. You open the door, and you're looking. Like, miraculous, the leftovers turned into chocolate cake in less than 5 minutes, right? And some of you are like, well, if Jesus is coming over, he turned water into wine. He can turn those leftovers into chocolate cake, amen? But sometimes we're trying to fill a spiritual need with something natural, all right? Again, it might not be the worst thing, but it's something that God wants to fill us. And that's the thing about dinner with Jesus. It's not just going to fill our belly, right? It's like that living water that's going to satisfy our thirst, right? I have food you know not of, he says, right? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about that inner part of our lives. And the amazing thing about appetites when you're, I don't know if anybody's ever, like, changed Johnny Child, just pick on him, right? You're in the front row, bro. No, I'm just kidding. But when you start to eat better, I don't know if anybody's ever done this for, like, more than a day, like a month, right? Like, more than a meal, right? But when you start eating better for, like, let's say, like, a month, what happens is you start to crave different things. Those appetites are changed. You know, you start craving that kale smoothie. You're not craving the chocolate cake, you know? You're not craving the sugar. You're craving a grass-fed steak or, you know, amen, right? Tacos, right? You know. I'm just doing my plug for tacos. It's for the kids, right? But God can change our appetites. Go to the next slide. Matthew 5:6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is in the Beatitudes. Some of us here, we need God to change our appetite. And that's amazing that he can do that. He can change our cravings. Amen. We got to partner with him. You know, we have to partner with this. This is a good thing. I remember when I first got saved, you know, I came out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. And I quit smoking marijuana. I quit drinking. I was like, anytime church was open, I'm like, I am there. Because I couldn't find the presence of the Lord like we found today at my house. Right? That's a lifelong pursuit where I'm increasingly finding the presence of the Lord in my house in a greater and a deeper way. But at that time, I couldn't. I was like, I just need to go to church because that's where healing is. That's where breakthrough is. That's where his peace is. And again, I'm all about church. Amen. I'm up here. So, but I remember in that process, it was probably been a couple weeks, you know, clean and sober. And I remember it was like so hard. And I'm like, God, I can't do this without you. And I felt like God's like, ding, 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 ding. I was waiting for you to ask me. Right? And in that moment, I'm like, God, like that craving is still there. Even though I was clean and sober, that craving I felt was still there. And God, you know, you've heard those stories where people come to the altar and they're like, all my desire for drugs and alcohol is broken. Smoked, you know, I never smoked cigarettes, but people are like, I smoked for 20 years. I came to the altar. It was totally broken. Or I was on heroin or methamphetamine, like no withdrawals, right? That's amazing. That's a miracle. It didn't happen like that for me, all right? But I remember asking the Lord and dialoguing with him, and he said, there's a spiritual hunger. There's a God-shaped hole. And until you fill that enough with me, once that continues to happen and you're full, you're not going to desire these other things. Because for so long, I was feeling that emptiness, that brokenness, that pain with those other things, right? And it didn't happen overnight, but it was a breakthrough. It was like, okay, God, you can, and now there's no desire for any of that, amen? That is totally broken. I still have struggles. You still need to pray for me, being a dad, being a husband, you know, all those other things, like just disciplining my kids. I have Emma all day on Monday. You need to pray for me on Mondays, okay? And then I'm going to have two, so. Those Instagram pictures you see, they're only the good moments, okay? No. No, but I'm saying that those appetites are broken. One of the reasons I was in church, because I couldn't hang out with other people that were doing that stuff. Now, if somebody does, it's like, well, whatever. There's no hooking me. Because God has changed that appetite. God can do the same for you. Right in your house, right in the place where you live, as you feed on the word, as you feed on the Lord, as you make room for him. Amen. All right. Keep on trucking here. Let's go to the next point. Take ownership of your home. And I don't know if you've ever, like, you know, where you don't own the house, you rent the house. Or maybe you don't even rent, you just feel like you're squatting in the house, right? And you're like, hey, my name isn't even on the lease, right? I don't have to take care of this place, right? One time, a friend of ours was a bachelor, and he was moving out of a guy's house, and he was actually getting married, right? And he was saying how, the guy's like, I know you like camping, but he was talking about his carpet. He's like, are you trying to get that in your room? He's like, have you ever vacuumed your carpet? Right? It was nasty, right? But it's one of those things where it's like, we need to take ownership of our home, not just in the natural, not just saying, hey, this is my house, I need to take care of it. We need to take the spiritual ownership of our home for the spiritual condition of our house. And I'm saying, I'm preaching to me here. I'm preaching to everybody, but I'm definitely preaching to myself. I need to take this responsibility in a greater way. Joshua 24:15 says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How is that going to happen? It's by me saying, you know what? I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm going to be the example. I'm going to lead by example, right? Jesus is going to be in my marriage. Jesus is going to be in my parenting, right? I talked in the first service about, and I talked to the person afterwards. I said, hey, some of us, we don't want to take that responsibility. We say, hey, well, my husband's not serving the Lord. That should be his role, right? Well, no, you need to take ownership. and continue to pray for your husband. Maybe it's vice versa. Maybe you're the man of the house. Or, you know, a lot of times women can be the prayer warriors in our household. No, we need to take a stand and say, no, I'm going to take ownership, right? Maybe you're waiting for your parents to take ownership, right? No, you need to take ownership. We can't just be thermometers in our house and say, oh, this place is funky. The heat's too high. It's too hot. It's too cold. The spiritual atmosphere. No, we need to be a thermostat where we change the temperature of our household. Amen? So I'm doing that. And, you know, one of the things I talk a lot about my family, it's on my mind. I was thinking about this. Again, I need to set the tone in my house. And that comes with the atmosphere of love, peace, joy, love, laughter, you know, all of that fun. I need to set the tone. But my daughter and daughters-to-be, right, they can't just learn about church from God from church. They need to learn about it at home. They need to encounter the presence of the Lord, miracles, signs, wonders in our house. Right? Not just in church. And again, I'm all about church. So don't use this and say, hey, Pastor John says, Jesus shows up in my house, I don't have to come to church. No, it's not what I'm saying. Right? It should reinforce. It should give us the strength so that we can do it at our home. Amen? I'm just going to have the worship team come. One of the things I want to, you know, we're going to transition to communion here in a moment. One of the things that I want to convey to you today is that Jesus wants to come over to our house. He's knocking. We just need to open him up. We just open the door. And there was a famous picture of this verse, and somebody said, hey, buddy, you made a mistake. There's no door. There's no handle on the door. It showed Jesus knocking. And there's no handle. Somebody said, hey, buddy, you missed it. Photoshop. No. There was no Photoshop back then. And he said, no. The handle's on the inside. We have to open the door. We need to invite him in. Right? And some of you might say, like, hey, well, I can't clean up all this mess without him. That's okay. But start that process. Start that inventory. Right? He's not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid of our baggage. He's not afraid of what's going on. And again, you know, growing up, my best friend and his family, they're believers. And there was a season in my life where I spent like so much time at his house, like a couple summers. And now I understand, you know, where again, our house is full of love, right? And so much. I got the best mom ever. She's amazing, right? She's moving in. Amen. At least on some level, but there was also a lot of craziness in our house. There's a lot of dysfunction, a lot of yelling. You know, my dad was an alcoholic. There's just a lot of drama, you know? But in that season, I spent so much time at my friend's house because the peace of God was there. The presence of God was there. Were they a perfect family? No, they weren't. But Jesus was there, and I felt part of the family. Right? And I want to create that for other people. When people come over to my house, never forget, Sarah Katar used to live with us. She's helping with Taco Sunday. And she's like, well, their house was always entertaining, right? which is important, right? But it's got to be more than that, too. I want people to encounter Jesus when they come over. They might not be able to verbalize it. They might not be like, hey, I don't know what's going on here. But I want them to have that mi casa su casa. But I want to say that to Jesus. Jesus, your house is my house. Say that with me. Jesus, my house is your house. Have your way. Show up. I need him to show up. Mondays, I need him. I need him to show up on those other days. And just a few more points here, and then I'm going to move to communion, the Lord's table. But again, I put last things on your notes here is maybe there's one thing that God is asking you to clean up in your house, right? I'm also going to do, I forgot to do the first service, have an opportunity for salvation, to for you to dedicate your life to the Lord before we take communion. But this is a great time for all of us. Hey, is there anything that's holding us back? Is there anything that's separating us from God? This is a great moment to give that to the Lord. And again, I left room here so you can actually write it down or note it. Maybe you just put some hieroglyphics so you know what it means and nobody else does. But the second thing is, where is Jesus asking me to make room for him on my schedule? What needs to get bumped off the list? And where do I put Jesus? I'm asking everybody to think about that, write something down. And what appetites do I need to change in my life? Where are those areas that I'm not full? I'm looking to other things, right? And again, you know, part of the problem is not just focusing on the problem, but focusing on the solution. Don't just focus on not eating the chocolate cake because you're still looking at the chocolate. I'm speaking to myself, but actually focus on the kale and the good food, right? I'm preaching real good to somebody. Amen. What's the exchange that God needs to do in my life? You know, there's an area of your life. God wants to release freedom in your house. God wants to take us from an encounter all the way to transformation. We talked about Jacob, right? Where he was at Bethel and he had that encounter with the Lord. Well, the next time he comes back, you know, he was on the run from his brother. He was at the river Jabbok. I'm sure I said that wrong, but he sends his whole family over, you know, his wives. That's a whole nother message and have other pastors explain that. But his kids and his flocks, and he sent it all over to appease his brother, right? And he remembered going there one way, right? On the run with nothing, a rock for a pillow. And he remembers coming back with all this blessing in his life, right? But he didn't only just have an encounter with the Lord. What happened there? He wrestled with the Lord, right? All night, it says. And God asked him his name. And you know what? You know what Jacob name, the name means? It means supplanter. It says that he was holding on to the heel of his brother when he came out of the womb, right? And the way he would receive blessing is by pulling somebody else down. That's how he got a leg up, right? Stealing the birthright, shenanigans with Laban and his uncle and all that kind of stuff, and it came back on him. But God said, the angel of the Lord asked him, said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. And God said, no, that's not your name anymore. Your name is Israel. It means overcomer. You didn't just have an encounter, but you're going to come all the way in to everything I have. The blessing is not going to be because you're deceiving and you're pulling people down. It's going to come the right way. You know, Scripture doesn't say anything negative about Jacob after that moment. You know, it says a lot of negative stuff before, but he finished well. I want to finish well. You know what I'm talking about? It says that from that moment on, he limped. He walked with a limp. God changed his walk. He was forever changed. He said he was leaning on the staff, right, the rest of his days. So we're going to go ahead and have communion and have the team get ready if Isaac could come and help distribute that. But again, part of your homework is these things, right? Actually, before they do that, let's just close our eyes for a moment. If there's anybody here and you just need to give your life to Jesus, you just need to come all the way in. You want to come all the way home. There's something that's taking you out of the kingdom. Or maybe you've never dedicated your life to him. I just want you to do something bold. Just raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Okay, I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand up front. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And then after the service, everything is over. I have a New Testament for you. I have a team that's going to pray for you. But for the sake of those who raised their hand today, can we all just repeat this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, forgive me for where I've sinned. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and give me peace. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross of Calvary. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I thank you for transformation. Help me be more like you today. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you rededicated your life, you know, the Bible says you're born again. You're born again, amen. And so let's just give the Lord praise for that. So again, at the end of the service, I do want to pray for you, and there'll be a team. And they're going to go in, so Isaac, you guys can start distributing the team, the elements. I just want to say one other thing is that, again, this is part of our homework, but we do communion here as a family, which is awesome. But where did Jesus first institute the Lord's table? Was it at the temple? Was it a big group? 12 people, right? It was with his crew. It was the people closest to him. So I encourage you this week as a family, or if you're single people, do it as a life group or invite other people over. Have communion at your house. Amen. This is a challenge. Again, we're not stopping to doing it here, but let's make it a part of what we're doing. You know, there's this survey that came out, and it said, you know, the three phrases that people love to hear, right? And the first one is, I love you, right? I think most of us could have guessed that. The second phrase is, I forgive you, right? And the third phrase is, dinner's ready, right? And that's what the Lord is doing here in communion. We're inviting him into our house. We're inviting him into our lives. Jesus is saying, I love you. I forgive you. And guess what? Dinner's ready. There's a satisfying that Jesus is going to release in our lives.